This is the original Dr. Mindbender, asking you the important and maybe the most serious question of your life. What's on your mind? I'm waiting.
Get me the G.I. Joes.
Welcome to episode 81 of What's On Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. We are now 53 days to the Indy Toy and Comic Expo, whopping 57 days to San Diego Comic-Con, 69 days, appropriately, to G.I. Joe Retaliation Blu-ray, 94 days to CoilCon, Mike, and 142 days to Rollout Roll Call, Mike.
Mm. We still got work to do on that one.
Tell me about it. Hello again, everybody. I am Gary. Joining me as always is our show killer, our star of the show. Call him whatever you want. It's probably not true. It's Chuck.
Gary, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing always good, Chuck.
I'm a little bummed, Gary. I mean, between yesterday with the passing of Ray Manzarek and then today the passing of Trevor Boulder, bass player for Uriah Heep, one of my favorite bands. And then unfortunately today I was able to use our favorite phrase, first time this year, I was making my own gravy. It was that hot out.
Ouch. I had just about forgotten about that phrase, and then you had to go and bring it back up again.
And I was just going to continue moving on. Now Justin doesn't say anything now.
No. I'm trying to erase that memory from my mind still, sorry.
He's trying to eliminate the taste of Chuck Bouillon from his mouth.
Oh. And that voice right there, our news hound, Mike.
Ha!
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I am not making my own gravy, thank God.
Oh, thank God. How was last week?
Last week was good and bad. But we at least ended on a high note after 4 or 5 days of getting hit with a 2x4 at work. It was nice to get back to the homestead and see everybody for a couple days.
It was a good time. We were out late.
And amazing how they continue to get us in the same table time after time.
I know.
By the wall where no one can see you.
Yeah.
Tucked in a corner behind a railing.
Good to have you back, Mike. Last week we had Watts on, kind of not necessarily in your place. He was more trying out for Chuck's seat, but he kind of filled in pretty well for you.
That's good. He doesn't understand that I recommended him for the sub spot last week. We'll let him continue to live the lie.
He was here last week as the admin of GeneralJoes.com. It's Justin Bell.
Hello.
Boo.
Nobody asked you.
So, Justin, I see that you got some more reviews up on the site. You were overly generous, as I figured, for a surefire.
Oh, come on now.
Mike, when you were reading that, did you hear a suction noise in the background?
I actually was at work today, did not get a chance to read it yet, but I heard a suction sound in the background, and I just assumed Justin was putting up reviews.
Yeah.
Hey, look, let me tell you, for tonight, I've had to, like, scotch guard my computer.
I don't want to hear about your suction noises, Chuck.
Jeez, Chuck.
Or he's just leaking gravy.
No, it's because of you, Justin, and all your ass kissing.
What?
Chuck Bouillon.
But that will be coming.
Justin.
Yes.
Jeez.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
You need to get a sound effect of just a car skidding to a stop.
I have that sound effect.
That needs to be put to use there.
Oh. Anyways, what else is new, Justin?
Oh, not too much. Yeah, I mean, I've got up the reviews. Yeah, I think I'm like 3 shipments behind on the FSS. I just posted the reviews for Surefire and
your call up.
Yep.
And I actually kind of agree with that one.
Thank you. It's kind of funny. When you don't agree with me, I'm being overly generous. When you do agree with me, then I'm surprisingly reasonable. Yeah.
It's either overly generous or highly apologetic. Either way. It's And trying out this week for Chuck Seat from the Fooshcast. Craig, how are you?
If Chuck is stewing in his own gravy or whatever in the hell he was doing, then I am not sitting in his seat, despite the fact that mine is broken. I'd rather sit on a broken chair than in Chuck's gravy.
You know what? If you replace Chuck, if you win in the tryouts segment of the What's On Joe Mind contest that we're having that no one knows about, we will give you a new chair.
I don't know what the heck has happened. I leave you guys alone for a year and you get 3 times as gross. Which, I mean, I suppose with Mike on the show, I should have expected, but somehow I didn't. And it's
Chuck's
still
been stewing in his own gravy for a long time now.
Well, sure, that's not a new development. That's like a focal point of grossness, but now it seems to have spread like his gravy.
The tryout portion of our program is brought to you by Dallas Vintage Toys. The finest toys and collectibles in the Lone Star State. Visit Dallas Vintage Toys at dallasvintagetoys.com. Tell them Roscoe sent you.
I love it. And they don't make their own sauce.
honestly, I'm glad that he put a pause in between when Mike was talking and when Chuck entered, so I can just edit that portion out.
Yeah, you'll notice I shut right up.
Very good. Thank you very much.
So you haven't found anything to capture your imagination like Roscoe P. Coltrane yet, Mike?
I have not. I actually saw that there's a store in town that is not a sponsor of the program, so I won't mention them right here. But they do have an Uncle Jesse.
Ah.
So oh, really?
We might move into our other second-tier star of the Dukes of Hazzard collection there.
Do you want a Dukes of Hazzard figure collection?
No. No, really, Roscoe is cool, but I think the true effect of Roscoe is the singularity there of plugging him on the site for who knows how many weeks and then having
the collection
him show
will never
up.
Be complete until you get the second-rate cousins.
Coy and Vance?
Yeah, that's
I don't even
true.
Know if they made figures of them.
I don't think so, but they'd probably get beat up by, like, the... I'm trying to look around here, see what the wussiest toy I've got, but frankly, my,
the MASH figures.
My toys are pretty awesome.
Father Mulcahy would beat the shit out of him.
Without reason or consequence, he would just pummel them senseless.
Now, Mike, I have noticed that on DallasVintageToys.com, that is their website, by the way, on the front page, it is actually pretty topical since there is a new Man of Steel movie coming out. They do have the carded superhero fun school G.I. Joe figure from 1992 at a paltry $449.99.
I was going to say, Craig, there's your next one right there.
All right.
There you go, Craig. Kickstarter, you- Craig.
Buy Mike a superhero figure. Actually, screw buy that. Buy me a superhero figure.
Screw you. You get all the swag. I'm going to tell anybody who sends Justin any more swag, you better make sure I don't get your address because I'm coming.
I tend to get enough swag. I'm pretty well covered.
Okay. Everyone's getting swag, folks.
I'm still looking on the front page for the Superman. I can't see it.
You got to go down a little bit.
You got to go down.
I beg your pardon. What kind of show is this?
Oh, here we go. He's worth, like, easily half that.
Superhero figure is actually pretty rare and desirable.
Yeah.
I believe it's every bit that amount of money, at least.
In package in this hemisphere, Craig, that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. Good luck to you, sir.
Again, in your hemisphere, they may be a little bit more abundant. I'm not saying that in a derogatory fashion, but there's a lot less between India and Australia than there is between India and Dallas Vintage Toys.
I'm still on Dallas Vintage Toys. I'm heading into their Ghostbusters section, which I think is really where we can find, Mike, some truly wonderful figures. I'm looking at a Super Fright Janine Melnitz. It's Janine with something on her head in some sort of capsule. And I think that really might... That's kind of screams Mike.
Capsule?
Yeah, hang on.
All right, while you look, and we'll come back to you for a Dallas Vintage Toy report.
There you go.
We have a link in the window, everyone. Justin, please introduce our special guest host as well.
Yeah, joining us tonight is somebody who's been on the program before. He is an ex-Hasbro designer and toy design entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Rasakage.
Design ninja.
Design ninja. There you go. He's a design ninja. Eric Aranya is joining us here tonight. Aranya. How you doing, Eric?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Thanks for coming on. I think Gary made me introduce you just so I would have to say Aranya.
Aranya.
It sounds very, very nice coming off your tongue, Justin.
Ooh. Like so many other things do.
He's the man spider.
So obviously we hung out quite a bit at JoeCon, which was always a blast. And I'd like to kind of hear what you've got going on. What are your plans for the next coming months and years and lifetime?
Well,
I think he's hitting on you.
I'm free Friday night.
All right, cool.
But after that, I've got to
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong. He makes great customs.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I kind of ended up in toy design, was customizing. But coming up since my departure from Hasbro 2 months ago, 3 months ago, me and some other toy designers, some of them previous Hasbro employees and some of them freelance toy designers, have formed a company called Boss Fight Studio.
Nice.
We are currently a design studio, but we are quickly moving into getting our own product up and running, because that's what we really want to do, is create our own product in the vein of action figures. That's what we love creating. It's what we love doing. So that's what we're going after. And hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later. And maybe there will be news on that by the end of the year where we're heading with some of it. We're not sure yet. We're not sure what the timeline will end up being, but we'll know more in the coming months.
So by no more in the coming months, full Dukes of Hazzard line by the end of the year, right?
Full, oh, yes.
Super articulated Dukes of Hazzard line.
Sweet.
But we're going to kick off with the lamer of the brothers.
Koi and Vance.
It's going to be their Comic-Con exclusive is Koi and Vance.
Koi and Vance will be the first.
Koi and Vance. And then, of course, battle-damaged Koi and Vance.
Did Koi and Vance ever get damaged in battle?
No, but they got their asses kicked an awful lot.
By Father McKay, no less.
By Father McKay.
You know what it should be called? You just do a toy line that's called TV's Greatest Hits, and your first wave is Koi and Vance, Father Mulcahy, Janine.
Magnum P.I.
No, not Magnum. It's like from Jake and the Fat Man, like the Fat Man.
Oh, the Fat Man. Yes.
You've got to go for all the really heavy hitters. I think Magnum P.I. is a little too A-class for this toy line.
Maybe if you go with one of the C-list characters, like Ice Pick or something.
Or Higgins.
Ice Pick, yeah.
Higgins, yes.
Higgins. Higgins is squarely on the B list. Ice Pick was Rick's boss. He was really obscure. Go with
I don't
Ice
even
Pick.
Remember Ice Pick.
How about Huggy Bear?
You could do a David Soul. When you push a button on his back, it sings, "Don't give up on us, baby."
Done.
So we're celebrating this awesome Boss Fight Studios announcement by running on a tangent into 80s TV nostalgia.
70s.
70s.
Yeah, actually, we dipped into the 70s a little bit.
Yeah, don't be a Justin.
So welcome to the show, Eric.
Thanks for taking time to come on the show and take all these great ideas, Eric.
Do we need to pause a moment while you write all this down?
No, I've got a running tally. It's good.
Okay, good. Okay.
While you're writing this down, I do want to remind, once again, the first segment is brought to you by...
by Dallas Vintage Choice, also known as the Chuck Tryout segment. Would you like to be Chuck? If so, send us a 5-minute audition tape, care of Gary Godso at What's On Joe Mind.
At Gmail.
I suggest you call it the Chuck Out segment.
Or I like Chuck's gravy train.
I actually did like when Mike said Chuck's bullion. That's actually going to get reused a lot.
Oh, God.
The thing is, he's going to use it a lot and no one's going to hear it.
Oh, you know.
Well, I'm not going to use it on the show. Mike already said it.
Give it a couple of years, 1,000 people will see it on YouTube.
Bazinga.
Ass.
YouTube.com/ChuckDog1999.
We should get into the next segment of the show, which actually is talking about G.I. Joe, folks.
G.I. what?
What? You're familiar with G.I. Joe now, Craig.
Now.
You said you have, what, 3 shelves worth now at home?
I've expanded, so...
very good.
I had to, because we're having a little girl, I had to make room in here, and somehow that meant I could put out more toys, which I thought was a clever bit of marketing on my point. My wife's happy, and I've actually displayed more than I was before. So I've actually got one whole shelf, which is all G.I. Joe vehicles, and like one whole Billy bookcase. And then behind me, I've got 3 shelves full of G.I. Joe figures. And I've still got room for an Eagle Hawk right there at the top. I'm just waiting for it to come out.
Fantastic.
Maybe 2 Eagle Hawks. I haven't decided.
Besides the Eagle Hawk, the other big items that will be coming out in the second half of this year from the club, and it was hinted at a little bit in last week's episode when we had Lanny on, FSS2. What we did before the show, everyone that's on the show, I asked them to please, like we did last time, I forget what episode it was, but it was back when it was myself, Chuck, Justin, and Chuck calls him Steve, but it was Greg, when we still had the 4 original hosts on the show. We did a simple thumbs up, thumbs down for FSS1, and we'll actually review that a little bit here also in the show at some point. What I'm going to do is kind of go down the list and by person, first of all, and I'll let each one of you talk. What is your favorite and what is your least favorite? And that's kind of what we'll talk about in this first round of discussions here. But what I'll lead off with Chuck. Chuck, of the 12, you rated them 7 to 5 as favorable. What is your favorite and what was your least favorite and why?
Okay, my favorite was Falcon. Just because I like what they've been doing with the newer Falcon figures since that comic 2-pack. I've been seeing a gradual aging of like the head sculpt and the face, where it's like he's gone from that cocky, just brand new officer to the battle hardened veteran that I think we're going to get with the Night Force version. And you know, Night Force Falcon was actually the only version of Falcon I had as a kid, so there's a little personal touch. And my least favorite was Bombardier.
Oh, Dave Tree's going to hate you.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, that entire
Dave Tree
mold,
is just going to absolutely hate you.
He's pulled his sponsorship.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
It's reusing that, you know, Grand Slam, Flash, body mold. And, you know, I was thinking about it that between 25th anniversary and the Rise of Cobra line that just got reused and repainted over and over. It's really nothing new. I mean, I like that it's homaging a, you know, very rare prototype, but, you know, I think the slot, I mean, this is going to be the give me slot. This is going to be the slot that they don't spend a lot of money on, so we can have all the other figures will be really cool.
Remember, Chuck Hakes Action Force.
I've got to say, Bombardier was down the bottom of my list, too. He was in my bottom three.
We'll get to you in a second.
All right.
You just hate the English because they're your jailers.
Is he English?
Yes.
He's Action Force.
Hey,
we're all G.I. Joe fans, folks.
Now Craig feels as if he's sinned against the Queen.
Sinned against the Queen?
Or whatever it is you people do.
Sinned Against the Queen is the name of my new cover band that I'll be starting up in the next few weeks.
Fantastic. I like it.
Nothing but Pearl Jam cover tunes.
Justin.
Yes.
Once again, you kind of prove you're the more apologist than most of us by a range of 8 to 4. What was your most favorite? What was your least favorite?
My most favorite, actually, surprisingly, I think was Wide Scope. He's a very close tie, I think, with Cesspool. Cesspool, I thought, was great, but was missing a couple of the elements that I thought would have made Cesspool perfect. So Wide Scope gets my vote. Because, number one, he's a new Sculpt Era character, which I'm always a big fan of. And number two, he's actually pretty badass looking. I love the Urban Reign camouflage on his pants and Lamont and all the different accessories and stuff. So I think he's going to be kind of a sleeper in the second FSS. My least favorite, probably Shipwreck. I'm not a huge fan of Shipwreck anyway. They gave him long sleeves to match the original Marujo version. But, Marujo. Besides that, there isn't a whole lot exciting. I mean, Tiger Force Airtight's kind of the same deal, but at least I really like the Airtight parts a lot. It's a very cool template to use for Shipwreck. He's got kind of those somewhat dated 25th anniversary parts, and the colors don't really do him a whole lot of favors. So Shipwreck's probably the one I'm least excited about.
Mike, you are the most apologetic of the group.
I'm not apologetic.
Yeah, how do you like them apples,
I just don't hate things.
By a count of 9-3... He was thumbs up everything. What was your favorite and what was your least favorite?
My favorite is Tollbooth, the head of the Tollbooth fan legion. Absolutely been waiting for that character for a while. I loved having the bridge layer as a kid. I enjoyed the kitschiness of the guy with the hard hat. The club has really done a good job of enhancing the combat engineer elements of the characters. I'm really looking forward to him. Least favorite, I'm right with Justin on that one. Shipwreck. It's not that it's bad, it's just that it's the straight-up repaint, and it's not really anything that we were looking for. And if we got to get a repaint, Airtight is at least a pretty badass figure to repaint, whereas Shipwreck is a little bit further down the line.
There is a theme with this Shipwreck figure. We'll continue on.
He is Marujo.
And Airtight is?
Arpuro.
Craig.
Mortal.
You were tied as the most apologetic with Mike at a count of 9-3.
Well, my favorite, surprisingly even to me, was Cesspool. I just think that, if for nothing else, the head sculpt is amazing on it. I think they've done a really bang-up job with that. And their use of some sci-fi parts and some original parts there. I know the legs are sci-fi. I'm not sure about the torso. Is that original? I was going to ask you guys. I couldn't figure out who it was off, unless it was
a Techno Viper.
The vest is Techno Vipers. I don't know about underneath the vest. I can't really tell, but the vest is Techno Viper.
It's probably the Techno Viper one underneath. That vest doesn't fit on too many people.
I just really thought that for a character that I didn't really care that much about, they knocked it out of the park with that figure. So that was at the top of the list. And then my least favorite was also Shipwreck, because Shipwreck's not a great character anyway. This is the worst uniform of Shipwreck, and then they put the worst uniform of Shipwreck in bad colors. It was like they took bad and just kind of managed to heap extra bad on top of it.
Marujo.
Not really feeling Shipwreck.
Okay. Eric, and by a count of 8-4, you were favorable.
Yeah.
What was your favorite, and what was your least favorite?
My favorite is a Skullbuster. I love the original Skullbuster figure. Like Justin, I really liked a lot of the new characters that were created in that new sculpt era, even though he wasn't a new sculpt per se. And also, I like garish colors, and bright purple is really fantastic.
Bright, sparkly purple.
If anyone's seen Eric and the way he dresses a joke on, he likes them bright colors.
I do like bright colors. Metallic purple is a standard uniform for me. My least favorite was Desert Scorpion, but...
Really?
It's not because it's a bad figure, per se, because I like the build a lot, and I like that they updated it from what Hasbro was going to do a couple of years ago with it, because they're newer, better parts to use. I'm really annoyed at the inclusion of an army builder in the FSS. I don't think they should do it. I feel very strongly that they should avoid army builders. I think a character like Skullbuster or like Rip-It, those kind of fill that army builder void without being an army builder. And I'd rather see characters like that than somebody that I want like 4 or 5 of being there.
Yep. All right. That's a fair argument.
Fair point. Yeah.
All right. My turn. As it turned out, I am the least favorable of all of you.
Well, you're a d-.
I was going to say, yeah, you're a d-. That's newsflash, Gary. Thanks.
By a count of 5 to 7, I was thumbs up on 5 and thumbs down on 7. My most favorite was Bombardier because I like Dave Tree and I support Action Force. I hear that. And my least favorite was Skullbuster.
Ooh.
Nothing against what Eric said. At JoeCon, they said that we're getting feedback from you and we're giving you figures because you're asking for... Who in their right mind's asking for Skullbuster besides Eric?
And I'm not in my right mind.
Seriously. It comes right back to like CoverGirl once again. It's like, who the hell is asking for Skullbuster?
As much as I like Widescope, that's a fair point where they're always saying, and actually even in the in Widescope's little Did You Know page on GIJoeClub.com, it actually says this highly fan-requested character. And I'm kind of like, who the hell is highly requesting Widescope? I don't know who's highly requesting Widescope.
I would argue that CoverGirl is a much more highly requested figure than both Widescope and Bombardier combined.
Craig, it was rhetorical.
He's referring to a fan-based poll for CoverGirl in 2005.
No,
which
I know.
That's exactly how I felt about Widescope as well, and I went down on him because... Oh, God, that's really bad.
Oh, boy. Easy.
Hey, don't ask, don't tell, okay? I went thumbs down on Widescope because all the characters in the new scope there that I could think of, Widescope was not one of those that's like, oh, crap, Widescope, I got to have him. We'll come back to when the club says that we want to throw women in some of these things because women, supposedly the collectors like women figures, and we have no women in here whatsoever. Now, we don't know what the 13th is. It could easily be Bomb Strike, which everyone thinks it seems to be because of what transpired and.
Spoiler, douchebag, spoiler.
In FSS1. I didn't say what it was, but what trans...
I think everybody already has it.
Yeah, I know. And especially by the time this episode is posted in September, everybody will have it.
You know, there's no Minutia. You have other great or decent characters in the new sculpt era, such as Dart. There's some other characters that I probably would have thought of first before Widescope, and that's why I went down on him. But in terms of how the figure's going to look, I'm sure it's going to be thumbs up when it gets into my hands because that's kind of what the club does. Again, Widescope would not have been my choice of a figure for this slot, much like when we were kind of debating some of these figures back in FSS1, which we'll get into in another discussion. Now I broke it down based upon per character. By a score of 6-0, we all were in agreement on Dragonsky as, yes, we all liked Dragonsky.
Yes.
Yay!
Mike, comment on Dragonsky.
You know me, I'm buying October Guard till it's going out of style. You want to finish up that set, especially after the club gave us most of them in that great concept last year in 2012. So Dragonsky, he's a must. You got to have him somewhere along the line.
Next up is Bombardier by a score of 4-2, thumbs up. Eric, why did you like Bombardier?
I love Action Force and international stuff in general. Like, back when I collected vintage stuff heavily, I had a huge international collection. And Bombardier, he was one I knew existed because of Yojo and everything and Dave Tree and all the stuff that they were digging up at the time about it. So I think he's really cool that they included him. I wish there were updated Flash / Grand Slam parts that mm-hmm. were a little less dated. I think a lot of the early 25th stuff is really dated. And Andrew Frankston and I, when we were freelancers, we worked on the Flash figure. Like, we did the initial designs together of that Flash body. Mm-hmm. And even having worked on it and done that from the outside and done the initial designs, I still look at it and think that the figure is very dated. He's very thin and everything.
It's your fault.
It is my fault.
See, I'm going to defend you on that one, Eric. I always thought that the Flash body, out of most of the 25th stuff, I think it's one of the ones that's aged the best.
I agree.
So do I.
Yeah. One of the most poseable. It's clearly shown to be one of the more versatile ones. I like the thought of Bombardier getting in there because you're looking at a foreign exclusive that didn't get done, that the club has the opportunity to put out the first even close to wide release edition of. So I see a character like that, and I'm surprised he didn't come out in the first run.
My only down on Bombardier is that I don't like the accessories that the club gave him.
You hate Dave Tree? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't know why they gave him that big-ass robot and then a couple of automatic weapons when I thought he was supposed to be part of the Space Force, right? And some sort of laser trooper, much like Flash, because the prototype even shows him with Flash's backpack and laser rifle. I preferred him to come with that, but
I also don't like that helmet. I've never liked that helmet with the massive visor over it and stuff.
That's old school.
I know. It's just,
he's out. Cut his mic.
All right, next up, Falcon. We split on this, 3-3. One of us actually had Falcon as our favorite. That was Chuck. Kind of interesting how the breakdown of who liked Falcon and who didn't like Falcon broke down. I don't want to say Mike is not an older collector like Justin, myself, and Eric, who've been in the community for a long time, because Mike has. But Mike was the only one of the seasoned collectors that went down, where Craig and Chuck, the 25th guys, decided they wanted to give Falcon an up.
For me, the only thing I don't like about Falcon is the old school web gear. I kind of wish he came with something a little bit more modern. The more modern web gear is so good that to go back to this one with the sculpted in gun on the chest and everything, the too tiny gun, I just felt like that was a backstep when the rest of the figure is really good. So I kind of thought that was a bit of a shame.
Justin, you gave it a down. Give me your yeah, but.
First off, sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
I like the head sculpt. I like some of the parts, but it just doesn't strike me as being all that exciting. I mean, I'm glad we're getting a Night Force Falcon to go with the rest of the Night Force set, but by and large, it's the same figure that we got in the Slaughter Marauder set, so just didn't really thrill me a whole lot.
Next up, we were all in agreement on Shipwreck.
Marujo.
None of us liked him. None of us. And three of us picked him as our least favorite.
Yeah.
So here's your grunt for this wave.
I was looking forward to grunt.
I know you were.
Grunt hurt me. I don't hate Shipwreck. Out of all of these figures, he's the least exciting. It's not that it's a terrible figure. I don't think any of these figures are terrible.
Well, just as Lanny said, you have an album, and some songs are better than others on an
album. Somebody's got to come in 12th.
Why is Craig laughing?
Because Craig really hasn't like listened to that.
Good, I just really like that metaphor. It was a good gag.
Lanny
Craig
knows
doesn't
stuff.
Listen to the show. That was the first time he's hearing it.
That wasn't a laugh of mockery. That was a genuine laugh. That was a good gag.
Next up, Skullbuster. 4-2 on the positive side. One of us had him as his most favorite. One of us had his least favorite. That would be myself and Eric, respectively. Chuck, not a fan of Skullbuster. Tell us why. All right, Chuck.
Really?
Oh, okay. Chuck. Come on.
No, you see, I thought you were going to cut me off, but it's just, you know, it's a little bit of...
A thought did cross my mind.
It's a little bit what Eric said, that, like, yes, Skullbuster is like the Range Viper commander, but it's like, we didn't get Range Vipers in mass retail. He sort of has that troop builder-esque vibe to him, but, you know, it just didn't connect with me. Just didn't connect with me the way some of the others did.
All right. Next up is Airtight.
Arpuro.
Yeah, it seems like we don't like anything that's Tiger Force in this particular one because we were all in agreement. 6 down.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to hate that figure, though. The figure is so good.
Yeah.
I think he was a down for me primarily because I already have an Airtight that's amazing.
Right.
Do I really need him brown with black stripes? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's hard to figure overall.
Especially for $30, you know, or $25 or whatever.
How many Tiger Force figures have there been in the modern era? There was a Flint, and then these two. I was trying.
A Duke.
And there was a Duke.
Oh, there's a Duke. That's right. Yep, yep.
And Wild Bill.
And Wild Bill, Eric said, right?
They came with a Tiger Rat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
D-Class had a roadblock and a tripwire, I think, but they never actually got released.
Do you think that this means that next year's JoCon set will be Tiger Force?
No.
Okay.
Well, you never know.
Everyone looks into the theme of the FSS and think it's going to bleed over into the con set. It never is. Is it conceivable that one of these might match up with next year's set? I guess. I mean, you have a 1 in 12 shot, which really isn't bad in the grand scheme of G.I. Joe. Actually, 1 in 11, because we know it's not going to be Night Force.
Yeah, if anything, they might use the FSS like they did with Falcon to maybe follow up on what they do in the convention. I don't know if they're going to do it the other way around necessarily. But
well, because I was thinking that if the FSS, like next year's one, comes out similar dates to this year's one, wouldn't that mean that a lot of the figures come out after JoCon?
No, they're going to come out starting this fall.
Oh, they're coming out this year? Oh, there you go. My apologies.
They're taking subscriptions right now.
Yeah, I remember that when they took subscriptions last time.
Yeah, but that was last time.
2014, okay. A team of top G.I. Joe crack combat engineers takes on a team of Cobra combat engineers in combat engineering.
I applaud your attempt.
The first time Mike gets kept on the program.
No, hardly. You could fill a room with all the tape I leave behind.
Next up, we were all in agreement on Tollbooth. I think Tollbooth was one of those that he was in that classic wheelhouse of the 88 and before figures that everyone's clamoring for to finish their collections. He was a vehicle driver. A lot of people liked that vehicle with the toss and cross. I've seen people put him on forums and ask for him. And what are you giggling about the bridge layer?
You called it the toss and cross. That was funny. I like how you tell a joke and I laugh at it. And then you're like, why are you laughing at my joke?
It's not a joke.
It really is called the toss and cross.
I thought it was called the bridge layer. Is it really called the toss and cross?
The military name is the toss and cross.
Oh.
In Craig's defense, it was always referred to as the bridge layer.
Yojo.com has it as the bridge layer. That's what I thought it was called.
Toss and cross.
The few times you saw it on the cartoon, it was referred to as the bridge layer. So I'll give Craig a pass on that one.
I'm just looking up the box art now. Oh, okay. It says bridge layer and then in brackets below it, toss and cross. All right. Fair enough.
And just a side note here, Tollbooth's beautiful new head brought to you by Boss Fight Studio.
Ooh.
Oh. Nice.
You're going to get in trouble for letting that go?
No. We've been kind of pimping it out on Facebook, so.
Very nice.
Very cool. Did you get to do that one personally?
I did not work on the Tollbooth one specifically. That was one of our members.
All right, next up, on a count of 5-1 with Cesspool, I was the dissenting opinion.
What? You went down on... I was just about to say you went down on Cesspool.
You went down on Cesspool with
Let me guess.
Thumb.
It's because it's Ecoforce, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Seriously, well, what? I mean, what's so bad about it?
I'm waiting for Chuck. I hear Chuck pop in and pop out. So, do you want to say something, Chuck?
Well, I was going to say, you went down on Cesspool. You're definitely going to catch something.
Oh, God, I should never ask him to talk.
Dumbass Gary.
I know.
Dumbass.
I guess I had a different picture of him based upon his vintage figure, and when the Club One came out, it kind of wasn't what I had in mind. The head sculpt is awesome.
Thank you.
The card art is downright scary. It's somewhat humorous. It's just like, ouch, that hurts. That whole scar on his face and how they had that ripped open on the card art. What I had in mind and what came out were two different things. And again, like I said, this is one of those ones where I could have gone easily the other way. And I was like, thumbs down.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't match what I had in mind, but I still think it's a pretty fantastic figure. I mean, it uses some sci-fi parts, some airtight parts, both of which are very cool characters. It doesn't match his vintage look exactly, but I still think it's a pretty amazing looking figure.
I'm going to stand up for it and say that I like it because it's not quite as far out as the vintage one. I like it more because it's not so crazy.
It's a pretty solid build, and it's a pretty solid figure. And that new head, once again brought to you by Boss Fight Studio, is pretty psychotic looking. The whole goal that we went for was full-on crazy with his expression and features.
That's for sure.
We're going to give all the credit to the misses on that one, Eric.
Yes, all her.
Okay.
And we're going to do it on the rest of them, too. Mostly so we're not giving credit to you and to Andrew.
Oh, that's fine. We don't need it. Our heads are big enough.
Which head?
First one, whoa, then the other.
Yes. Next up, Widescope, 5-1, and I was the dissension on that one again.
You are such a Garrett. You hate fun, don't you?
I hate the club.
In the words of Anne Frank, you are an enemy of fun.
You are an enemy of fun, yes.
You hate Widescope, you hate Cesspool, you let Chuck talk.
All right. Next up, we were all in agreement on Big Bear.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yay.
I dig it.
Woo! That's kind of an odd one to all be in agreement on.
We're finally going to get the parka.
Maybe. I mean, the curse could still hit and FSS2 could flush.
It's not in our hands yet.
Speak of the curse.
Yeah.
I just hope that he's a bigger figure. Like, I hope he's a little bit taller than everyone else and he's a nice, chunky figure.
Ooh, Craig's like a little on the chunky side, don't you?
That's right.
Okay. Next up, we were split on Desert Scorpion. I was thumbs down on Desert Scorpion for the same reason
that
Mark mentioned earlier, which was I didn't want it to be an army builder.
Because I actually think it looks amazing, and I love the robot Scorpion and everything. But when you explain that it should be a mass release so you can get a bunch of them, I kind of agree with that. I don't want to change my vote, but I'll agree that that's a very valid.
Stick to your guns. That's good.
Because it's a cool-looking toy.
All right. Lastly, Keelhaul. I kind of expected this to be closer than what it was. 4-2. And oddly, Justin and Chuck were the ones in agreement on that one. Explain yourself, boys.
I was conflicted because the new head sculpt is very, very cool. I'm just not a fan of that Rise of Cobra pit driver General Hawk body. The limbs just are a little bit funky. The hips don't work real well. It's just not the cleanest, most poseable figure, I guess. Maybe that was partly because of the plastic used for that particular figure, so it might be that those parts are fine in using better production tools. I don't know. I wasn't really thrilled about that parts choice. I really love the head sculpt. I love that he comes with a coffee mug. I love the flag. My instant reaction was kind of like, I'm not too sure about those Hawk parts.
I think it doesn't help that this is a really bad Photoshop. Like, of all the Photoshops, I think this is one of the worst ones.
And to give Lanny credit, I mean, that's what we talked about last episode. They are Photoshop representations.
Right, yeah.
It is different to have a picture of a Photoshop figure than the actual real thing in hand and you're taking a picture of that. We'll come back when all these are released, just like we will later in the show to talk about FSS1, to see how we changed our votes when these things come out.
Yeah, because I know my initial reaction to a figure like Topside last year was somewhat negative, but once I actually got him in hand, I thought it was really cool. So, I mean,
Topside actually is one of those, while we're talking about him, was one of those I said, besides being a character from Indiana, I'm thinking, who the hell is asking for Topside? But then you get him in hand, and you got that awesome head sculpt, all the accessories, and the extra detail that the club put into the paint apps on him actually made him, if not the best, well, probably people are going to say Big Bo is the best, but certainly in the top three, I think.
Yeah.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's really great.
Okay, Chuck, why don't you like Keelhaul, man?
Honestly, I think it's just pure troll bait from the club. I mean, oh, yeah, he comes with a flag. Get it? And I just didn't want to support that.
You're not going to buy it
anymore. You know, I do appreciate that it answered a question I've had for a while, that special figure stand with the hole in it is gang molded with the flag. So, you know, you can't have one without the other.
All right. So that wraps up our quick and dirty thumbs up, thumbs down review of FSS2. Like we did last time, I guess we could take a stab at who we think the 13th is going to be. Last time we actually had a better idea since that little list leaked. But this time we really have no idea. Chuck, make a prediction on your 13th.
Oh boy, that's going to be tough. Crimson Guard Immortal.
Justin.
I'm going with Bombstrike.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Mike.
Just to be different, Frostbite.
Craig.
Christ. Bombstrike, sure.
Eric.
Dreadhead Vance.
Oh, yes!
See, I would have thought they would have gone with Roscoe myself, but...
No, no, because they're upset with us for messing up with the trademarks on that.
Do you want to take that one to the bank, or do you want to actually give it another guess?
I'm going to go out on a little crazy limb here and say somebody like General Mayhem.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be pretty Tiger cool. Force.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be pretty neat.
I will go with Bomb Strike. We are now on the record. Anything that anybody else want to talk about FSS 2 before we kind of get into our final look at FSS 1 and closing the book on that one?
What parts do you think they're going to use to make a Bomb Strike out of? Eric probably already knows that it's Dreadhead Vance, but he sculpted the head himself.
Maybe similar parts to Dana?
Use the Renegade Scarlet body. That could give you a nice flat surface to put the G.I. Joe logo across.
I'm going to look up Bomb Strike. It's been so long, so I don't remember what you looked
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Justin, why are you chuckling when you said flat surface and Bomb Strike, and you're like...
I don't know. It just made me chuckle for some reason. I don't remember what JoeCon we were at, but we were at some JoeCon, and Dwight Stahl was actually in the room with us, and somebody was making a joke about how
that's
Bomb Strike is Boob Strike, and Dwight was like, that's my daughter's name, and
I know.
That kind of killed that joke right there dead. So.
Yeah, but her original name was going to be Bombshell, too, so...
Yeah, Dwight kind of deserves that, I guess.
Looking at it now, I think it'll either be Dana Potts or maybe Lady J. A lot of Lady J parts.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from thinking that it's going to be Bomb Strike, because I just don't see them turning either of those into one that would make the fans happy. But we don't know what else is coming this year, so who can tell? Whereas Frostbite, on the other hand, you use that big bear head.
I like that Frostbite idea, I must admit.
That's a good idea.
I was going to say, I envision him more as like one of those membership incentive figures. I don't think they're going to do two Arctic ones in a row.
I would think, but you got a ways to go before that type of thing kind of comes up again, which is why I'm thinking Frostbite's our guy.
Have we had a modern Frostbite?
From Rise of Cobra?
There's a Rise of Cobra one.
It's kind of a Frostbite innately, kind of. It didn't...
Yeah.
Frostbite.
All right. What do we think? We go to intermission first and then come back and close the book on FSS1?
I believe it is, in fact, Mambo time.
All right, it's Mambo time. Going to intermission, coming back, talking about FSS1.
It's Mambo time!
We'll be back. Chihuahua!
This portion of What's on Joe Mine is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at KokomoToys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemine. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemine.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads. Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's on Joe Mine, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. Inside Pulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sports, games, and more. Check out the Pulse of Pop Culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the GeekCast Radio Network. GeekCast Radio Network features multiple podcasts featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's on Joe Mine. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
Pixels in the Animation is the next cartoon review podcast series in the GeekCast Radio Network's long history of review series. We've had Transformers, He-Man, and Mask as far as the cartoon review podcasts we have done. Now we bring in TV's Mr. Neil as he and TFGU and Mike break down 9 video game cartoon series. Steve Megatron will join us for the Mega Man and Sonic episodes. We'll be reviewing and analyzing every episode of the Mario, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Donkey Kong, and Sonic cartoons. You can expect us to go in-depth and also talk about the game franchises that spawned these cartoons. So tune in summer 2013 as we find the pixels in the animation.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
Yes, that's right. We have traveled to Eternia to enter Castle Grayskull. Join Optimus Solo and TFJ and Mike as they find themselves telling Tales of Eternia. We cover all things He-Man in this 45-episode-long podcast. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. By the power of Grayskull, we all have the power. Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, Steve Joe and Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. Coming April 10th, 2012, the Geekcast Radio Network launches Masked Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Masked Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Welcome back. The second half of What's On Joe Mine is brought to you by JoeArmory.com. Joe Armory is a proud sponsor of What's On Joe Mine. Stop on by JoeArmory.com to experience the internet's largest inventory for all things G.I. Joe, from 12-inch to 3¾ and everything in between. Joe Armory is your source.
And we're back. And in lieu of really no news whatsoever.
Well, there's not no news. It's all FSS stuff, which we talked about.
There's Chuck's gravy.
Let me turn it over to our news moderator, Mike, to lead us into what we got in with FSS 1 this month.
So, what did we get in with FSS this month?
I'm glad you asked, Mike.
It's funny you should ask.
I was amused that, of course, I was in Indianapolis last week, and part of my FSS purchasing was for my brother Rob, and of course, what day does shipment 6 show up? That's the day after I leave town.
Of course. So,
sorry, Rob, we got these in hand. Maybe you'll see him someday. Maybe.
Have we announced who the figures are yet, Mike?
Have we announced who the figures are in the 6th shipment, you mean?
In the final shipment, yes.
In the final shipment?
The final 2 and the bonus figure.
And the bonus. Well, the first figure that we saw was bomb disposal expert Theodore N. Thomas.
TNT.
TNT, or Mr. Lego to some. Air Force Special Ops Command, codename Barrel Roll, final name Dwight Eastall. Then, of course, our third figure, the bonus, number 13, the one everybody's been waiting for.
The worst kept secret of the fandom.
The worst kept secret of the fandom. The one that we struggled with for weeks and weeks and weeks. Barrel Roll. Barrel Roll, brother.
And you blew it.
I certainly did.
Let me put that back up and put out T for you there, Mike. Go ahead. Take a swing at that again.
Well, I just was kind of right. I just didn't do it well enough. Barrel Roll's brother, the Cobra, Sniper, Blackout.
Very good. Justin, tell us what you think of these 3 figures that we've gotten in hand for the FSS.
TNT, actually, I'm liking more than I thought I might, just because he's kind of a new foreign character. I really hate. Well, hate's probably a strong word. I don't like that 25th anniversary blowtorch mold a whole lot. It's got a lot of detail, but his elbows just don't move.
Right.
Justin, I have to take umbrage to that. Great.
Uh-oh. Okay. Are we going to fight?
We might. That 25th blowtorch was the first figure I designed for Hasbro as a freelancer.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, and it sucks. I'm sorry about that. The detail is great. The biggest problem I have is just the elbows.
The elbows don't work very well now. Yeah. I agree. I
do like the sculpting on the torso and the arms and all the pads and stuff. It's very intricately done. We can just blame the sculptor, Eric, all right? You know, you're off the
sure.
hook. It's
absolutely
all the sculptor's fault. I ended up liking TNT a lot more. I was kind of anticipating the hatred just because Blowtorch, he comes with a flamethrower that he can't even hold because his arm doesn't bend enough for him to hold it. But TNT, whether it's the super bright yellow, silver, and blue that I just really dig it, he's appealing to me a lot more than I thought he would.
Okay.
Barrel Roll was very cool as well. I do wish he was in his classic colors, of course. Beyond that, I really like the Pursuit of Cobra Duke base figure that they used with the Resolute Duke arms. A lot of good articulation. If I had any complaints, it just would have been cool if he was in blue and gray instead of brown. But I don't know what was going on. I don't know if there was some kind of approval process that didn't go through that caused him to have to be brown, or if they were just going with a desert theme to match Grunt, or what the thought was. But the end result is the figure itself is still really, really nice. Very good paint applications, you know, some gray, some browns, tan. Just a really nicely detailed figure. It doesn't look a lot like Barrel Roll, but it's got enough of the elements to work, which is fine. I don't need my figures to be exact vintage representations.
I'm okay with it. It looks good enough, and it's an update.
He doesn't look like the first Barrel Roll. He looks like the DTC Barrel Roll.
He does, yeah. But I mean, I kind of would prefer he looked like the first Barrel Roll. I think the head sculpt for the first Barrel Roll had a lot more character. This one looks a lot more bland. Plus, for some reason, his hair is now black instead of brown. You know, it's not a big deal, I guess, but every other Barrel Roll version was brown, and now it's black, so...
Ah, semantics.
Exactly. And, you know, I hate that helmet that he comes with, but...
Yeah, I don't like the helmet either.
The special needs helmet? Yeah.
Special
needs.
Yeah, exactly. The weakest part of that.
Yes. To me, the star of the last three figures is definitely the mystery number 13. I was really disappointed when I ran on a couple of online forums to kind of see what everybody's reactions were, and I saw a lot of, well, I don't even know who this guy is. I'm just like,
oh,
are you kidding me?
Oh.
I mean, it hasn't been that long, and then I realized it was 2003, and it's been 10 years, and now I'm old, but it's...
You're old. We were old before.
Bazinga!
The Stahl family was a pretty huge part of the new sculpt era, but...
Chuck, I know this storyline means a lot to you, because you liked it as well. I actually agree with Chuck. I kind of like the storyline. Justin, explain the storyline to people so we don't have to see this... Well, we're going to see it regardless, because that's what G.I. Joe fans are. I don't know who Blackout is. Tell us, who is Blackout, and who is the Stahl family?
One thing Hasbro kind of did with the new sculpt era was they actually tried to tell some stories in the file cards a little bit. I mean, as we've gone through the years now, we barely even have file cards, much less stories in them. But what Hasbro did in the 2000s was kind of created a little...
It was a story within a story.
Exactly, yeah. When Barrel Roll came out, it was Wave 5, technically. Well, kind of Wave 1 Spy Troops, Wave 5, Joe versus Cobra... He had his file name on there. And then Blackout came out in the next wave, and the file card stated that he was actually Barrel Roll's brother. But Barrel Roll's brother, who had joined Cobra, and there was some kind of family drama that kind of happened between the two of them. You really know the full details. The Devil's Due comic book actually went into it a little bit, actually having Blackout be a member of G.I. Joe and a recruit for G.I. Joe. And the mission went sideways, and some other G.I. Joe recruits ended up getting killed. And he took the fall for it a little bit, and then Cobra rescued him from jail and kind of brought them under their wing, and that's kind of how the Blackout Barrel Roll conflict was born. And then not only did they talk about how Barrel Roll and Blackout had this little sibling rivalry going on, they actually brought their sister Bombstrike into it as well, and actually had Blackout capture Bombstrike in her file card. And Barrel Roll's mission in life was to rescue her and kind of find out what happened and what turned his brother against them. And it was a story I kind of covered a little bit in my Dio story universe that folks may or may not have read.
I haven't read them.
It's all right.
No, actually, I've read them. I enjoyed them quite a bit.
You're such a d-
The whole thing with Blackout, he was such a big part of that whole new sculpt era. I mean, without a doubt, you pretty much had the established Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow Duke, Cobra Commander, Destro, whatever. And then you had this whole kind of new generation, you know, kind of new blood that was in there. That's something we've lost a little bit of perspective on, I think, as the years have gone on. We've gone so dependent on where's my new version of this character, where's my new version of that character. You kind of forget that G.I. Joe doesn't exist without having new blood brought in every once in a while. And throughout the new sculpt area, guys like Crosshair and Dart and Widescope, who we talked about, and Barrel Roll, of course, and Blackout. And definitely in that core group of characters, the Stahl family drama was really what kind of stuck out to everybody back then. I mean, the whole online fandom really dug that idea. And I really think it's great that the Collectors Club infused that in the figure subscription service, because it's obvious at this point, I don't think IDW is going to cover it all. I mean, they've already got a guy named Blackout in the Cobra series who's really no relation to Barrel Roll as far as we know. He's still a Cobra sniper, but not really associated with Barrel Roll or anything like that. You're not going to get an extension of that story in the IDW comics or in any kind of directed DVD cartoon or anything like that. So you've got to kind of rely on the Collectors Club to keep telling those stories. And I'm excited because I'm thinking, you know, if Blackout's appearing here, maybe he'll appear in the newsletter comic as well.
If I want to learn more about Blackout, Justin, where's a good place for me to go?
Well, there's a couple places. I mean, you can go to yojo.com, go to their action figure archive and look at the file cards for Barrel Roll and Blackout. You can also check their Devil's Due comic section and kind of get some backstory in those comics, or you can pick up some of the Devil's Due comics. I think a lot of them are available at various online comic retailers or Comixology. Yep. And IDW is putting out their kind of Disavowed series, which covers a lot of the Devil's Due stuff. So there's that as well. That's pretty much where you're going to find most of the information. I mean, if you want to go to generalstrows.com and go to my Dial Stories and look for, I think, Misdirection has some Barrel Roll and Blackout balancing off each other a little bit. You can go to various places like that, but I think Yojo is probably the best place to find this information.
I'd actually really recommend those Devil's Due books. I really enjoyed the Devil's Due G.I. Joe run. Almost from start to finish, I liked most of it.
Devil's Due was one of those series that I appreciate a lot more now than I did then.
Yeah.
I think when Brandon Giroux was doing it, I really enjoyed it. I liked what Brandon Giroux did with some of it. I wasn't crazy about the stuff that Josh Blaylock did and some of the changes that Josh forced on Brandon a little bit throughout his run. But I think going back and looking at it from the future, I think it's better than when it was kind of the sole G.I. Joe comic continuity going forward.
I enjoy it more than IDW stuff, actually.
Yeah, I won't argue with that. I'm not a big fan of the Dixon IDW stuff. I think a lot of what Devil's Due did was better than what Dixon's doing in some of his IDW stuff. But I think the Real American Hero title by Larry Hama is by far the best G.I. Joe title since the 90s, without a doubt.
Agreed.
And, the Cobra series by Costa and Fuso is very different than the Real American Hero book, but it's still a pretty fun book to read. But if you're going to get one G.I. Joe title a month, you got to get a Real American Hero.
Absolutely.
It's G.I. Joe perfection. It's like a continuation of the late 80s universe told almost perfectly.
And he's throwing an Action Force in it, too.
Yeah, he's Robo got Skull. Red Shadows, got all that stuff in.
Robo Skull, ladies and gentlemen. Robo Skull.
Yeah.
All right. So now that the book is closed on FSS1, real quick, Justin and I will kind of review what we originally thought of the figures and then as we got them in hand. And then I'd like to get everyone else's opinion after we kind of review these real quick about what they thought of FSS1. So, Justin, this particular show would have been in May of 2011 at some point. I don't know the actual show episode number. Coral, you gave it an up. Do you still support that?
I do, because I like the Action Force angle and I like Z-Force. I'm not a fan of the 25th anniversary Scarlet figure in any way. I think it's especially,
I know you hate that figure that we
have now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think ultimately I'll celebrate any extension of Action Force.
Nanobat down.
I'm going to change that.
Okay.
When I got them in hand, I actually liked them a lot better. The translucent plastic and light piping was a lot more fun than I thought it might be. That figure really appealed to me a lot more than I thought it would originally.
Top side up.
Yep.
Yep.
To stick with that for sure.
Pete Sinclair will be happy. Pete Sinclair is topside. That's all there is to it.
Lanny disagreed with you, Mike.
No, he just said that Pete can't grow a beard. He didn't disagree.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Then
go
I
back
said,
and review the tape, yeah.
And then to which I said, well, then it's Pete with his fantasy beard.
Dice up.
Yeah, I think I stick with that. Some of the kind of Pursuit of Cobra 25th Storm Shadow parts aren't the best, but I think ultimately it's a very good representation of Dice. I like it.
Grunt down.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Claw up.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm sticking with up. He's not my favorite figure of the bunch. I love that they did G.I. Joe Extreme. The colors really make that figure for me. Some of the parts are a little sketchy. I don't really like the head slash beret. There's some stability issues there. But the vibrant black and red and purple and gold all really is a great color scheme and makes the figure look really nice. So I think ultimately it's still staying up.
All right. Jinx up.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't imagine that one changing there. Barrel Roll down.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to stay down. Yeah, in hand, he's a little bit better than I thought in pictures, but I still think a different color scheme and maybe his original head sculpt would have helped significantly, so I'm going to stick with down on that one. Yeah.
Ooh.
TNT down.
I don't want to hurt Eric's feelings, so no, I'm changing it up.
Okay.
That Blowtorch 25th anniversary figure is so awesome. I love 25th.
Surefire up. Of course. Yes. Of course. Yes.
I love you, Dave.
CoverGirl up.
Yep, I'm sticking with up on CoverGirl.
Big Bow up.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Mine on Coral was up. That remains unchanged. Nanobat up. That remains unchanged. Topside, that was a vote of faith, and that was up, and that remains up. I went down on Dice. Again, that sounds worse than that means, but I'm going to agree with Justin. The result of this exercise is, how do you feel about it now that you get it in hand? It didn't deserve that rating now that I have it in hand, so I gave it an up. Grunt, yeah. Again, it's the worst song on the album. It's a good album, but it's the worst song on the album.
I was looking forward to Tan Grunt.
Iron Claw up. I read Justin's review, and the more I've talked with Justin, and the fact that now that I have it in hand, that 25th body style is very dated. And the fact that you can't even put his beret, which I think that beret really makes the character, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay on and it looks odd. I was in the middle anyways. I liked the fact when I originally gave it the up rating, we were bringing in Joes from another line, but something was missing on this one in the final execution. So I was a little disappointed as an end result. And I think in general, the fandom may have been too, because I still think there's for sale in the club store.
Oh, are they really?
I thought that they were all still available except for Big Boa.
Yeah, we might have to look that one up real quick. Jinx, yes, up. Barrel Roll, I agree. I will stick with down. TNT, I like the foreign figures, so I was up anyways. And since Eric has made it clear that that's one of his babies, I will still keep it up.
Oh, giant.
Rock on.
Surefire, I had thumbs down, and I'll remain thumbs down because I refuse to apologize to David Lane.
Sorry, Dave.
CoverGirl, well... Whatever. Big Boa up. Those were mine.
Again, why do you hate on CoverGirl, Gary?
We've talked about it like 8 or 9 times already on the show.
You gotta let it go, Gary.
Now I can. Because FSS1 is closed.
You won't even judge that figure on its own merits.
We don't have to worry about another CoverGirl again. Mike, while you're sitting there talking, give us your final thoughts on FSS1.
FSS1. It came...
Giant...
No, my final thoughts on FSS1, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty ambitious project. I had my doubts like everybody else did along the way as how are they going to pull this off? Oh, God, it's being delayed again. Justin's a giant But now that it's in the books, I have to say it was a pretty good success. I think it was more successful than I expected it to be, even. I think the majority of these figures are pretty good and look pretty good on the shelf and in the dios and in vehicles and all other types of stuff that I've got going on in my display space. So kudos to the club on that one. I think this was a very worthwhile pursuit.
Craig?
I think that overall the figures came out better than most people sort of dared to hope. I think that while everyone had a fingers-crossed kind of positive attitude, I think that the majority of the figures have come out really well, and that's given a lot of people hope, and I think a lot more confidence in the second series. I do think the figure selection in the second series isn't as good, but that's a whole different conversation. So, yeah, I mean, I'm picking up a little over half of them, and I'm really glad they went ahead with it, especially considering that mainline G.I. Joe is so hit or miss in terms of being out at the moment.
Okay.
It's so hit or miss that it's missed Australia completely.
Chuck, your thoughts on FSS1?
Well, I think the best compliment I can pay FSS1 is it did what
I still didn't buy any of them, but I thought
what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Justin, why don't you go kiss up to Eric or something if you need something to do on talk? Yeah, well, keep doing it. You know, that's what he's good at.
Chuck, go ahead.
All right, Chuck, go ahead.
Is that... When this was first announced, I said that if it was done right, it can basically outperform and do better than any subscription service Mattel has done. Well, figure subscription service one, going forward, however long it lasts, has basically bent over Mattel and its crappy subscription service and made it its bitch. And the best part is, this is a small club, you know. like small staff, and they can run and operate something like this better than a larger corporation. So, you know, hang your head high, gentlemen.
I'm sure the club would appreciate that, but do we have numbers that this actually did better than Mattel and He-Man?
What I'm saying in terms of doing better, it was better organized. The figures were got out on time. There weren't shipping issues, that it was basically being mishandled, that you had people in California who live 5 minutes away from the USPS depot, or however these were shipped, and basically the figures being sent out of state to another depot to be sent back to them, which is all stuff that has happened with Mattel's subscription services. You know, the figures, for the most part, I'm sure there's a couple horror stories, got to the people who ordered them intact, in one piece, from Voltron, Masters of the Universe, and even some of the DC subscriptions. I've heard people getting broken toys and packaging. So, you know, that box that, you know, Brian was talking about, hey, it did beautiful. Maybe he should be nice and, you know, call up Mattel and say, hey, you want to see how I designed this box? I hear you got problems. Here's my box.
I got to agree with Chuck. The Mattel services had a lot of problems with it. And once the FSS got going, I think it knocked it out of the park and totally beat Mattel's. You could argue that maybe they had less numbers to worry about, but they did a good job.
And the more importantly, one thing to add, basically you were getting two figures a month for the same price from Mattel that you were getting one figure a month. And depending on the parts choices from the G.I. Joe side, you were getting more articulation.
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck actually put a string of thoughts together that kind of made sense.
Yeah. When the club adds Ram Man to FSS3, oh, man.
Mattel is finally doing take off? Ram Man. Mattel is finally doing Ram Man, so that joke's less funny now.
Like, we don't care.
I said less funny.
Not funny.
Look, I'm awesome.
Wait a minute. Ram Man isn't out already?
No, Ram Man. Oh, he might be. I don't know.
That's another show. Eric, FSS1.
FSS1, I loved it for the most part. I mean, even the figures that I didn't hang on to, I thought they did a really great job on them. This is, from a production standpoint, this was a huge, huge undertaking for that small staff to take on. Like, the fact that they got it together and did it was really, really fantastic. Like, just the fact that they got it done was amazing. And once they finally got going and they started shipping, they were almost always a few weeks apart. I didn't get any that were damaged. I thought they did a great job. And I would have to disagree that I actually think the lineup of the second FSS is stronger. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I smell bias.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I smell bias, and it reeks. It reeks of Eric.
There might be a little bit of bias.
I think the head sculpts on this series are far superior to the head sculpts on the first series.
I tried to avoid the spoilers as much as I could. I look forward to every shipment every month. I was looking forward to the 13th, even though I had a really good idea who it was going to be. My stuff never really came damaged. I don't think it ever came damaged. So I'm glad I got one. When it comes to the club stuff is always, always high quality stuff. You should never hesitate when it comes to the club stuff. You shouldn't wait to see one or two figures that you're waiting for. Get them, and then what you don't like, sell, because there's going to be someone out there that's got to have club stuff, and you'll be able to make your money back and a little bit more. So again, that's just my thoughts on FSS1. Again, I'm not high on the character selection on FSS2, but I've already put my money in for my subscription, so I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm looking forward to FSS2.
Agreed.
I think I hear the mailbag.
Mailbag. Mailbag. Post sock. Mailbag.
Mailbag's brought to you by
all the cool stuff. Yeah, write a letter about Joe. Think of sending it across the ocean to all the cool stuff. The greatest G.I. Joe and toy collectible house in all of merry old England. All the cool stuff at
allthecoolstuff.co.uk.
Thank you, Gary Godso, man on the spot.
There you go.
First letter. I'm sure you guys are going to be inundated with listener Joe memories, so feel free to laugh at these or share them. I don't care. In 2007, I was sentenced to 30 years to life in Nevada's state penal... What? No! Wait! Oh, wrong letter.
Dear Penthouse...
When I was about eight...
That's the right letter.
Hey. When I was about 8, I had realized that I like theme birthday parties. As the theme of the party went, so usually did the presents I received. If I wanted He-Man toys, I had a He-Man party, complete with furry shorts.
Bazinga!
Somewhere at my parents' house, I have a near-mint condition full set of those small wax G.I. Joe candles. Contact Craig immediately. I had wanted to use them as figures, but my mom wisely stowed them, telling me I would want them as a collector's item when I was older.
Wow.
Two, my parents didn't necessarily like the fact that I wanted military toys, so the first two actual 3¾ Joes I got, Sneak Peek and Scoop. Sometime later, I accidentally got my hands on Marvel issue 113. The therapy took me years to recover from. No, not really.
Scoop is a great toy.
He'll spend twice as much time in therapy thinking about Chuck's gravy.
Continue, please.
Number three, similar to the other beach story, my grandparents owned a beach condo, congratulations, that anyone in the extended family can use whenever. One summer, we were staying in there for a couple of weeks. On returning to the condo, I found a G.I. Joe figure on the front door. I had no idea at the time, but it was a good condition Cobra Eel, my first Cobra figure. I never did find out who left that for me. The answer, of course,
the Chuck Fairy.
Santa.
Oh.
Where does the Chuck Fairy keep the figures?
In the gravy. And them out.
Anyways. The memories. Keep up the great podcast. Signed, Jonathan. Thank you for the letter, Jonathan. Next one, very short. What really happened with the whole Roadblock is now heavy duty, now he's not? Thanks. Signed, Cord.
This is going back a little ways, isn't it, Justin?
It is. Well, we already had a little history lesson about the New Sculpt era a little while ago with Blackout, right. But the same thing could happen with Roadblock. Throughout the early 2000s, I think probably 2002 would be the first time that Heavy Duty really officially replaced Roadblock. He appeared in the first series of the G.I. Joe versus Cobra line before they got their O-rings back. You could probably trace it back actually to 1998, because although they just used the existing Heavy Duty figure and put Heavy Duty in with the Mobat tank in 1998. But anyway, the figure that appeared in 2002 in G.I. Joe versus Cobra looked like it probably could be a Roadblock, but it ended up being a Heavy Duty, and he kind of took over as the token oversized heavy machine gunner. And the running theory at the time, or kind of what Hasbro said at the time, is that they had lost the copyright to Roadblock. And
right.
So they're essentially kind of almost in a way replacing Roadblock with Heavy Duty. And they did that in G.I. Joe versus Cobra line. At one point in Spy Troops, actually in Wave 6, ironically the same wave that Blackout first appeared in, Roadblock did come back as Roadblock, as the Roadblock we all kind of know and love. But at that point, they'd been doing Heavy Duty so much that Hasbro kind of just stuck with Heavy Duty as a character, and he ended up
Cousin? Kind
of appearing in the Sigma 6 line, and yeah, the Devil's Due comic wrote him in, I think, as Roadblock's cousin.
Renegades did too.
And then, yeah, Renegades kind of took off from that and also made him Roadblock's cousin, and made him Roadblock's cousin, who was also a gourmet chef and all sorts of fun stuff like that. That happened actually in Spy Troops.
Yeah, it was in the movie, the Spy Troops
movie as well. Yeah, that was where Heavy Duty was kind of established as a gourmet chef, even though he was Roadblock's cousin. So it's been a little bit of a convoluted thing. So Heavy Duty was kind of acting as the Roadblock replacement for a while. They were never actually the same guy, no, but it seemed kind of clear, especially if you look in the Sigma 6 line. Who they were calling Heavy Duty was pretty close to Roadblock's overall appearance, you know, shaved head, facial hair.
And what is the Sigma 6 you speak of?
It's one of the greatest G.I. Joe toy lines ever made, Mike. I'm surprised you've not heard of it.
Gary, can edit you out.
Yeah, I can.
Be smug all you want there, Frenchie.
But Hasbro eventually, I think with the 25th anniversary line, put a renewed focus on getting Roadblock into the line, because he's obviously such an important character in G.I. Joe history. So in 2007, with that first 5-pack, he was reintroduced as Roadblock for the first time, I think, since the New Sculpt era, kind of has never looked back since.
And then the BJ's Roadblock had Double Blast's name, like his file name. He wasn't Marvin Hinton. He was somebody else.
Yep,
so it was a mess for a while there.
Yeah, Double Blast was Charles Griffith, yeah.
All right, there we go. Next letter. Thanks, Cord.
Dear Manager, my pleasure to write you again. Did you receive my email last week? We want to cooperate with you in the plastic mold field. Just give me a message if you need any assistance on new mold projects. Looking forward to hear from you soon. Thanks and best regards. Sheila, sales assistant.
I'm surprised there was nowhere in that email where it said all your Basar belong to us. Sheila, we'll get back to you. Thank you.
Don't call us.
Next letter.
Call you.
These are real letters, folks. Real letters. Aloha, guys. Glad to hear Gary's voice is back. Still loving the show. You guys should have Mo on more often. Ha ha ha. She is hilarious. On a related note, I like Arun and I'm entertained by Chuck, yet was disturbed by the interaction of the two. Arun's fiance, now wife, should know about Chuck, and that is all I have to say about that.
Agreed.
Mm.
Mm. I believe this letter needs to be prefaced real quick. This was sent to us nearly a year ago, because obviously this is quoting when we were talking to Arun during our last San Diego Comic-Con review episode.
All right, then. Also, he has to nitpick after a year. Being a historian and military aviation buff, I must point out that Fightertown USA left San Diego in 1997. Miramar is now an
MC. I don't even remember us mentioning that.
Arun was talking about wanting to join the Navy because he watched Top Gun as a kid.
Top Gun, a.k.a. Naval Fighter Weapons School, is now Strike Fighter Tactics Instructor Program, located at NAS Fallon, Nevada. I know, weird, right? An NAS in a desert. Still, while in San Diego, Arun should have checked out the USS Midway Museum. They have a Tomcat on display. I believe it is a bird from VF-213 Black Lion. A bio, and thanks for the great coverage of our favorite hobby. And also a bigger thanks to your wives for letting you guys do the show. Torpedo, a.k.a. Hawaii Mike.
Aloha.
I think we've read three or four of his letters before this one that were all written after this one.
Probably.
That's the way we roll.
Well, the good news is I think we're all caught up.
We're all caught up okay. on Hawaii Mike letters. I can tell Mike you
letters. That Sheila has actually written back again, so.
Ooh, we got to get that on the show.
Sheila's sure,
I think
back.
She's in. I think she's into you, Chuck.
Yeah, well, no, it was the same email. I mean, it was the same text, but it was a later date.
Sheila from RussianWives.com.
Sheila wants to fabricate Chuck's name.
Is that the mailbag, Mike?
That is, in fact, Der Postsack.
Postsack is brought to you by?
Postsack is brought to us by All the Cool Stuff, hosts of Rollout Roll Call 4. Coming your way this October with special guests Gary Godso and Bill Ratner.
And Mike Irizarry.
Kickstarter.
What's next, Mike?
What's next is shoutouts.
Shoutouts.
Shoutouts brought to you by?
Nobody. Chuck.
Gary.
What do you have, Chuck?
Unfortunately, the only thing I got this week close to a G.I. Joe was, I got my... figure subscription, my membership instead of Iceberg, but we already knew about that. Talked about it, did a review. I think we actually talked about it last week when I got it. Oh, maybe. But the only thing close to a G.I. Joe I got this week was the single carded Chitauri soldier from the Avengers line. So now I am officially done with Avengers. But it was nice to see the G.I. Joe aisle was stocked. But it was stocked with, like, Wave 1 and Wave 2 figures that I already had. So, you know, but at least it was nice to see full shelves, including a whole peg of Renegades Cobra Commander.
Is that it?
Yeah, just, you know, shout-out to my homeboy Arun, who, you know, got a mention earlier. Shout-out to, you know, our guest tonight, Eric. Thanks for coming on. Shout-out to all our sponsors. And, because he hasn't heard it yet, I want to say happy birthday to Mike. You know, I mentioned it on the last show, but... that's not up yet. I hope the day was special. People got you gifts, you know, stuff like that.
My birthday itself, which would have been the night that you guys recorded, was actually a terrible, terrible day. But again, I had a long weekend, so I went home and spent it with family and others like Gary.
Thank you.
So, yeah, well, you know, there you go.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. All right. Mike, what's new with you?
What's new with me indeed? Not a whole lot coming in new, of course. FSS 1, Wave 6 there, is now in my grubby little paws. Plenty happy with all three of those. I wish the head on Blackout was a little bit better. I'm not really a huge fan of the remade one, but it works okay. At least it's not, like, too small or anything like that. At least it's sized well. Other than that, I'm on lockdown. Last episode I was on sounded like a contest to see who could say lockdown the most. It was. Kind of unspoken. It didn't matter because we were all just having too much fun saying lockdown, and in Gary's case, double lockdown. But that's kind of the case for me. We're still trying to make Rollout Roll Call happen and make other things in life happen, and that involves saving some money for a change. So, viva hiatus, as it were.
hiatus.
We have to put a good spin on the times we don't have Joe product to purchase in mass quantities. That's what I'm trying to do here. Shout-outs, thanks, of course, to our sponsors.
our generous and most awesome sponsors.
Yes, Kokomo Toys. I didn't believe had a live mention this week until just now. JoeArmory.com, Dallas Vintage Toys, and all the cool stuff. I believe Mr. Tree will have a big announcement sometime soon. So
Mr. Tree will have an announcement that I will make during my segment.
I was going to like prelude to that. I didn't know you were breaking that tonight.
No, prelude all you want. We'll keep people in their seats.
Yeah, because people do usually get up and leave during your shout-out segment.
Yes, exactly.
When we get the focus figures back, that's usually what it is. It's like, oh, Gary buys stuff too? But that's all right. Somebody's got to be the boring one. Somebody's got to be the worst song on the album.
Exactly. Exactly. And someone's got to bat ninth in the order.
And we put our nine hitter in the leadoff spot, so everybody's forced to listen to him.
Bazinga.
But
that's true.
We're so confident we're giving away a free out. Anyhow.
Infield in. Easy out.
He's bunting.
This is one of your American sports, right?
It is. And just think, Craig, this week you're actually only the second least confused person because Eric is here.
Craig, I don't know what they're talking about either.
Mike, can you imagine Chuck laying down a bunt?
I can imagine Chuck laying down a bunt. I cannot imagine Chuck legging it out for a base hit.
Well, you're wrong, because I do that. I don't butt, bitches.
You don't hit either.
No, I hit. I connect.
Barbara chiming in. And Barbara disagrees. All right. So that's about what I've got. So, Justin, you're up.
What I got this week, as most other people got, was the final installment of the figure subscription service. I got Barrel Roll TNT and Blackout. And I'm very happy with Blackout especially. I think they did a really great job on this particular figure. So shout out to the Collectors Club for kind of keeping the surprise and suspense.
It wasn't their fault.
If it wasn't for that leaked list that came out however long ago that was, I don't think too many people would have guessed it. So kudos to them for that. And hopefully they can maintain the same surprise factor for FSS2. But yeah, shout out to Eric for joining us and the whole crew at Boss Fight Studios for the awesome work they're doing on the head sculpt FSS2. Very cool stuff so far.
Very good. Very good.
If that's any indication of stuff that they have in store for us in the future, I'm very much looking forward to whatever announcements they might have to make coming up. And I'm excited to get everybody on the program here eventually so we can all nerd out and talk about toy design and stuff. That should be fun.
We are very, very nerdy.
I think that's about it. I'm sure there's probably a couple people I'm supposed to be shouting out that I'm totally forgetting about.
Way to go.
So I do want to give a little shout out to Lanny for coming on the show last week and sitting down to talk with us for a little bit on the precipice of this figure subscription service information. And it was very cool talking to him for a little while and getting some insight on the Collectors Club. Last but not least, a big shout out to Chuck Scravey.
Craig. Save the segment, please.
I haven't had any new G.I. Joe stuff in a little while because there hasn't been much new stuff to get. But
Australia's on lockdown.
Australia's on lockdown, that's right. The British have put us on lockdown. Is that where you wanted to go with that?
Tree heard you and he's mad at you.
Does he have that power?
He may now. Everybody's been talking about him since the con. He might.
Is he like a fairy or something? The more you talk about him, the more power he gets?
Well, I guess he's kind of like a fairy.
No, he's just... I've heard him
described as a fairy, and so I thought that's what you guys meant. I can talk about new stuff that I got, but none of it was G.I. Joe related, so I'm not sure if I'm allowed.
Go ahead. What the hell?
We're
not going to know what it is, but go ahead.
It's going to be some robot thing, something from Japan.
It's not from Japan. It is a robot thing. I got the new Springer from the Transformers line, the Voyager-class Springer figure. And I rank it in possibly the top five modern Transformers I've ever owned.
Nice.
It's unbelievable. It is near perfect.
Yeah, I'll be busting mine out. I'm doing Springer week this week.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, a week?
Doing Springer week?
Well, you know, 3 days. Yeah, my I do 3 videos a week, so this is like the theme is Springer.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So what do you
do? Yeah, it's amazing.
His tank another day or whatever?
No, I actually have 3 different Springer figures.
Yeah,
he's more Springer figures than he has G.I. Joe toys.
Booyah!
yeah, no, I do. I think it's an amazing figure.
What?
I think he said go suck off a bear.
Go suck off a bear.
Look, frankly, just if you do in fact successfully suck off a bear, that to me that's a point of pride. Because that takes balls right there.
That's pretty manly.
If the bear sucks you off in return, that's when you know you're... I love how we can say this and yet swearing gets bleeped. But yes, I do like the Springer figure. I think it's an amazing toy. Absolutely worth getting. And if this is the caliber that Hasbro is starting to turn their Transformers line back into, then they may be worth getting again.
I'm worried, man, because I saw that Sandstorm and I'm like, oh.
Oh, that looks amazing.
But you know, I was a little disappointed because it's like, I mean, I appreciate that they went so far as to change the mode, but it's like, oh, I wish they would have left that chopper with that front end. It would look, with that new front end, it would look good.
Yeah.
I'm starting to regret letting him talk.
Oh, well. At least it's a Hasbro product.
I made perfectly sure that I was talking about something from Hasbro and not something that you guys just wouldn't understand.
I think Eric sculpted the feet on that, Bringer.
you know, it's funny. I guess since we're...
No, it's not.
We broke the mold. Eric, I actually have a serious question for you.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
This is very serious. Now, if you have to type your answer, it's okay. But do you know the name of the person who was responsible for Deluxe Class Transformers Prime Arachnid?
I do not. I do know who was responsible for Springer.
My
good friend Joseph Kide.
Ooh.
You can tell Mr. Joseph Kide that he has made one of the best Transformers I've ever owned.
I will pass that along.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
You know, Lisa, is Joseph married or attached in any way?
All right. See, you took it weird again. See, I was just trying to be nice. And Gary, in my defense, I really did just want to talk about one figure and keep moving.
I know you did. Either Chuck's trying to hook himself up or his sister or his mom. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Joe is married, but I think they might be looking for a unicorn.
There you go, Chuck. There's your opening.
Well, no, because I was going to say, everybody loves Springer, so I was going to say he can go to BotCon and say, hey, I designed Springer, and, you know, he'd get fangirls.
Ooh.
You know, because there are designer groupies.
Transformer fangirls.
There are designer groupies?
Not a joke.
Eric's like, wait, I'm a designer.
Actually, Justin is one, by the way.
I was going to say, Eric, I'm your designer groupie. Come on now.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah, we figured that out yet?
Derek J. Wyatt just does animation models, and there's like a flock. He gets a flock of women with him at BotCon.
Craig, are you done, man?
I was done about 10 minutes ago.
Eric, your turn, man.
What I got in, like everyone else, I got the subscription service final shipment, which I was very happy to get. I liked all of them. Like Mike, I kind of agree that I wish the blackout head had been a new sculpt or just a more detailed head than the...
Say something from a company you work for?
Sure. I mean, other than that, I do like that figure quite a bit. What else did I get in this week? Oh, I got an awesome box of gliders and a 1982 reproduction of the Cobra headquarters from Joe Harris.
Nice.
So the reproduction is also from 1982.
Yes. That's when he started making it. But also, like Mike, I am on lockdown since JoeCon and have been...
When does your lockdown end, just out of interest, you guys?
Let's see. Mother's Day just passed. Next JoeCon.
Yeah. It might extend to next JoeCon this year. As for shout-outs, I have a couple of shout-outs, if that's
please.
Okay. If you would like me to ramble.
Go for it, man.
I have a shout-out to Kevin Watts, who's working very hard on the New Jersey Comic-Con front, our Collector's Con. Hopefully there's going to be an announcement for a boss fight in New Jersey Collector's Con in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
That'll be very fun. Also, Jim Butel.
Host of Jim Butel Week on the Discovery Channel.
Yes, that's him.
In addition to his hosting duties, he is holding on to a Night Boomer for me, which is very cool of him to have offered to, and I intend to get that very soon. Also, again, Joe Harris, who sent me this awesome Cobra headquarters. It's a childhood dream of mine to own it. I remember seeing it in the store when I was a kid. My mom and I, she didn't have enough money to buy it for me. So we went back the following week.
Oh, it was gone.
And of course, I looked for it at every store. We did go back to Sears where we had initially seen it, and they didn't have it. So I kept looking for it at other stores because I didn't understand that it was a Sears exclusive.
Mm.
But yeah, I never found it, and I always really wanted it. And then when I got back into collecting, it was too expensive to get. Mm. It's very cool that I own this now, and all thanks to Joe Harris. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Alyosha and Raging Spoon, who let me display a bunch of custom figures at their booth at JoeCon and got a lot of attention. I thought that was fun and cool, and I enjoy compliments as an artist. I crave them.
Your spirit looks a lot like Tano coming up in Lone Ranger.
A little bit of inspiration from the early images of Johnny Depp, for sure. Spirit's one of my favorite characters from G.I. Joe. I spent weeks working on that figure and putting him together, and like all his parts come off and shift around, and his quiver can either be worn on his back or on the side saddle of the horse and stuff like that.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
The Black Ops snow job was awesome.
Oh.
It has a good home. Yes.
A big shout out to Dave Tree, who continually fed me margaritas one night at JoeCon.
Uh-oh. We know what he was trying to do.
Yeah. Mm. But
Mike, how much do you remember about JoeCon? Let's be honest here.
I remember everything. Out of everybody who was there, I was probably the one guy who never got drunk.
Oh, okay.
I am not a big drinker. In 5 days, I think I had 4 beers.
Not right. Wait, you mean all of this time you're sober?
Yeah. Scary, wow. Isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to need a minute.
It frightens me sometimes.
Anyways, Eric, you avoided tree rape.
I did. However,
come on now. Come on now. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Wow.
A big shout out to the G.I. Joe Collector Club, not only getting the FSS 1 out and making it awesome, but a great con. FSS 2 I'm looking really forward to, and they've been fantastic to work with. David Lane, Laney Latham, Brian Savage, they've been fantastic to work with. So big shout out to them, and of course, a huge shout out to my Boss Fight studio mates. We're going to make this thing work. It's going to be good. I never want to work for a corporation again. I need to make this work.
I hear you.
I'm happy to work for a corporation, and if you have a job going, please contact me at thescreamman@gmail.com.
Do you have any toy designing experience, and can you move to the East Coast of America?
Yes, and maybe depending on what the missus and the little girl say.
Well, I'm going to guess that you can force one of those votes, but the other one's going to be tough. So there you go, Eric. If you ever need somebody to stuff envelopes, Greg's your guy.
I will stuff whatever needs stuffing, and God, I've been on the show too long.
You're hired. You all heard it. He said whatever.
An excruciating Justin's interview
like,
process.
He's taking my job.
I was going to say, get in line, Craig. Get in line.
Justin does it for free.
All right, my turn. Shout outs. Robert Atkins. My commission finally arrived. He's been working on this thing since, gosh, last CoilCon.
CoilCon?
Yeah, a little bit before then, he started working on it. I gave him the idea.
CoilCon, the past of the future of convention and conventioneering.
I don't know if everyone saw the picture that I put on Facebook. He says it's one of his favorites that he's ever done. Wow. The detail is outstanding. The level of work, the detail, the little bits of ruffles in the clothes, the individual strands of hair on Scarlett's head, for the amount of work that he put in and what I paid him, I got a bargain. And I really appreciate every bit of work that he poured into this and the feedback that he took from others. I think he's going to put it on his blog if it hasn't been on his blog already by the time this is published. But check it out. The big announcement that I wanted to do is What's On Joe Mine will be doing a spinoff. Yes.
Yep. See you, Chuck.
See you, Chuck. It's going to be called What's On Joe Mine Presents The Full Force. It's going to be hosted by Dave Tree and a couple of other of his friends. I don't think I have all the hosts yet. But it's going to be, I believe, a monthly show that he's going to try to do on Action Force, talk about Palatoy Action Force concepts, kind of educate everybody a little bit more on Action Force, as well as promote Roll Out Roll Call. But I'm excited that we'll have a spinoff with What's On Joe Mine's name on it. And I hope a lot of people learn a lot of stuff about Action Force and it promotes the hell out of Roll Out Roll Call, which we will also do as well. So congratulations to those guys.
It is already England's preeminent podcast about French G.I. Joes. Or is that not right? Everybody started laughing. Is that not right?
You just mentioned the French, and it's funny.
All right.
More details as they become available. We'll hopefully have a promo. We'll start playing here soon, and we'll go from there. One last thing before I wrap up my segment. I still am on lockdown, but the wife found me two of the running changes at Dollar General. It happened to be on the same afternoon where I was out and about, and since she found them, I actually found a Duke at $1 General, and I got the blessing since I had a spare $6 in my pocket. Yes, I paid with cash. So I have three of the six running changes.
You're locked down to shit.
That is one sloppy lockdown.
That is some bullshit lockdown. Every week, it's like, well, I'm still on lockdown, but I got blah, 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 blah. And then 30 minutes later, blah, 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 blah. Your lockdown is crap, Godzo.
You sat right across the table from the woman. You could not see that there was lockdown involved.
Look, she'll cut me if I say something in front of her.
That's true.
She will cut me.
I would not want to fight your wife, Gary.
I am one of her favorites, and she will cut me.
I don't want to fight my wife. Are you kidding me?
No, your wife will kill you because she gets half your crap. Worst case scenario, she gets half your crap.
Yeah. You think about it, it doesn't really end well for me.
If she kills you, she gets all your crap.
Right, right.
You're out 50% either way.
It's always good to make the wife happy, and that's why I got her a new vehicle.
You're locked down at
Let's wrap this up. That's it for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the fun ends. Join us on Twitter during the week, and on over to our Podbean site and find our Twitter profiles on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Host bios, community forum threads, and archive episodes, along with everything else with our show, can be found on our webpage, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Visit and bookmark it today. Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Joe Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great podcast shows such as Movie Week in Review, GCR and Retro, Tooncast Beyond, and Mass Mayhem. Go to GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today.
I'd like to thank Eric and Craig for joining us. Eric, anything coming up that you want to tell us about in terms of Facebook pages, Twitter feeds, or anything concerning your little endeavor and group?
Well, I mean, you can always follow us on Twitter, Boss Fight Studio. We'll come right up. Same on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're posting as much stuff as we can on there. There's not a whole lot yet, because up until last week, it was only Andrew Franks and Katrina Arana Cerise. Now I'm officially part of it, and we have a fourth guy coming in a couple of weeks.
Fantastic.
It'll be the four of us. And we're going to keep posting and keep things going up and keep putting stuff up as we can. As with anything in this business, we can't show everything that we do all the time.
Sure.
Like I said, we're going to work on our own stuff, and we're going to be a lot looser on that as we do it because we can. So, yeah, follow us and like us because we're hoping to be pretty big.
Well, thanks for coming on. And when you get the whole group ready to come back on anytime, more than welcome. We'll just
book you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Craig, anything coming up in the Fooshcast?
Yes, I'd like to announce the upcoming interview we have with Eric Arana that I arranged behind the scenes while doing this interview. We'll be talking to him and chatting about what it's like to be a Hasbro designer at his upcoming work in Boss Fight Studios sometime really soon.
How do you know Eric?
I met him through England's premier G.I. Joe podcast, that podcast, Dead G.I. Joe, or something. That joke started really well in my head, and then somewhere in the middle I got a bit lost.
It tapered off, yeah. But it's okay.
We start calling the Fooshcast moderately geeky with the way that they tend to take our guests after we have them.
Come on, yeah, now. People listen to the Fooshcast.
That's true. He's scalping our guests, so there you go. Listen to the Fooshcast.
Yep. Talk to you later, Eric. You'll be able to tell the difference between we'll actually talk to you and not just around you.
Look, he is welcome to jump in with whatever jokes he can think of.
That's right.
But that's what we do here.
And with that said, for our showrunner Chuck, co-host Justin and Mike, I'm Gary, saying to all our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you the next time for the next episode of
What's on Joe Mine?
Now you can go.